Good morning. We're really glad to be here today. This is our first time here in Fertile, and Kathy's going to open up a little bit with some sharing, my dear.
Okay. Well, this is just a quick snapshot. Those who were in the Sunday School Hour got to hear the longer version. But I do want to share with you a new initiative of the Evangelical Free Church. It's called Justice Initiatives. And we're especially focusing on the need for justice for women and children who are oppressed, devalued, and at risk. And many of those are at risk for human trafficking. And so this is a global effort that we are working on, but because it's so big, you can't start everywhere. So our focus right now is in India, Calcutta, India, with a project to get going for some girls that have come out of being trafficked, but they need a skill so they can have dignity and income and a way to support themselves that otherwise there's no hope of that. And then also sharing with them the love and the good news of Jesus Christ. And this real initiative has really been birthed out of our desire to just reach out to those who are hurting and to hear their cry and to respond. And we want to challenge our churches to also be a part of that in some way. There's a verse from Psalm 10, 17, and 18, which really gives us our little catchphrase, which is, hear the cry, answer the call. So hear the cry of the oppressed, and then how are we going to respond to answer the call? But just our great leader in all of this, of course, is our Heavenly Father. Psalm 10, 17, and 18. You hear, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them, and you listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed, in order that man who is of the earth may terrify no more. And so I challenge you just to get a little more acquainted with what we're doing. There are two display tables out there. Steve will tell you about the one on the right, and the one on the left is where I'm representing Justice Initiatives. And we have some ways that you can right away respond and answer the call. One is to sign up for our email newsletter, quarterly newsletter. This is printed out, but we just send that out by email just to let you know what we're doing and other opportunities around the world, and also just to provide some information so you can be learning more about this. There's also a book list, recommended books on the topic, websites that you can look at. Also, we're looking for prayer partners and people that want to get more than just the quarterly newsletter, but to get a twice a month prayer update. We've got that. That's also sent out by email. So you can sign up for those. There's a list out there. There aren't too many names on the list yet, so I'm trying to get the whole page filled. So, and then you can actually go and buy some products, which will go directly to help women in India. I have some lovely cards here that are hand-painted by women in northern India, very poor women, and this helps provide income for them and for their children. And part of the money goes to them, and the other part goes to our project in Calcutta. So the cards are out there, packs of 6 and 4. And then, Steve, if you would pick up the other things, are all these bags. I'd like to empty that table also. These bags are made out of jute, but they're all made by women who have been freed from the sex trade in Calcutta. And so the ministry is called Free Set. Each bag has a little tag that tells about it, has a website there. So if you weren't here this morning for the presentation, you can go online and look. And these are just two of the bags, $15 for that. And then there's a couple little small bags for $5. So, and I will be glad to talk to any of you afterwards. Thank you.
Thanks. It was a real thrill for us to come here yesterday, and we had supper with your pastor and his family, and we came over to the church, and I've never been here before. And to see your new facility, so we praise the Lord for, you know, what God is doing here in your congregation, and actually what brought us here, Kathy had a presentation in Bemidji yesterday. We were up there. I was preaching in January, and they said we want Kathy to come back for a ladies' event, so I went along, even though I skipped the event. But so that's what brought us to the Northland, over to Bemidji, and then I called your pastor up, and we had been talking somewhat over a year ago about coming, and that's how it worked out to come today. And if you want to pray for us, actually this week, Kathy is doing a presentation at MSUM, that's what used to be Morehead State, tomorrow at the university on the human trafficking tomorrow night. And then on Tuesday night, she's down kind of in south central Minnesota in Redwood Falls. So she's getting around, and I'm going with her on some of the things. We work as mission mobilizers. I was a missionary. Well, before that, I was a Free Church pastor, and God called me quite a few years ago to be a missionary in Romania. So when the Iron Curtain fell there, I went actually over there in the early 1990s, and I ended up being there somewhat over 5 years, pastoring the first established Free Church in the country. The church that I was in, they were pretty much all brand new Christians, and it was really fun to be with. When you'd preach, you knew they'd never heard that sermon before, because, you know, they were just all brand new believers. So I was over there in the 90s, and God called me back to Minnesota, where I grew up, to help care for my mom, who had terminal cancer, and I just transitioned then at that point into what's called church relations, and I've been a mission mobilizer ever since. So 3 out of 4 Sundays, we're in a different church, somewhere in the upper Midwest, talking and sharing about what God's doing in the world and trying to help mobilize churches. Kathy had spent many years in Spain as a missionary, and the year that we met, she was living in Venezuela, and I heard about her when I was in India. So we have some interesting backgrounds of stuff. I would like to just open my time in prayer today, and the topic that I want to talk about is, what is God doing in the world today? And we're going to look at 3 things. First of all, what does Scripture say about God's interest in the world and in us? And secondly, what is He actually doing in the world? We're going to look at some snapshots of what's taking place. And then third, we're going to see what we can do. So let's pray. Lord, thank You again for this church, and it's just a wonderful privilege that we feel to be here today, and thank You for what You're doing here. And Lord, I pray that even this morning as we continue on, that You would captivate our hearts to have more of Your heart and to see what You desire for the world, that the world would come to know You and believe in You and follow You with all their heart. Guide us in our time now, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. I'd like you to take your Bibles, first of all. I know you don't have a sermon outline today, but I noticed on the back of your bulletin there's kind of an empty box there for, I forget what it's for. But anyway, if you want to write something down, if you want to write scripture verses down or other information, the third part of the sermon today, I'm going to actually ask you to write things down, because I don't want you to fall asleep. Okay, I don't think you're going to do that anyway, but I want to share enough information where you can see what does God say in His Word, what is He doing in the world today, and then what we can do in response. So I think we'll have a good time together. So turn with me, please, back to Genesis. We're going to look in Genesis chapter 12, first of all. We're just going to look at a few verses. We're actually, think of being in a plane if you fly. A plane goes at 30,000 feet. It goes fast. That's kind of like the speed we're going to go today. We're not going to leave you in the dust, but we're just going to look at a couple things here. So why is God interested in the world? We need to ask that question before we talk and say, what is He doing? But why is He interested in the world? Genesis chapter 12, verse 3 is one of the answers. And I really believe, I'm going to say this first and I'll give you the scripture here, I believe our God is a missionary God. He's very interested in the peoples of the world. From creation up till our day and on into the future, God is very interested in the affairs of what's going on, the events of the world. There's a lot of things happening if you watch the news at all. But He's very interested in the world today. I believe He's a missionary God. Take a look in Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse 3. We're just taking one verse out of when the Lord's talking to Abram here, but it's really a key verse to answer this question. Here's what the Lord says, "And I will bless those who bless you," talking to Abram, "and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." It's really an interesting phrase there, that verse 3, "and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Well, we're some of the families of the earth, so we actually fit into this verse. Some people actually call this the Old Testament a Great Commission verse. Well, you say, well, what does that mean? Well, what's the blessing that Abraham had? Well, the fact is, he was a man who was a friend of God, but he was justified by faith because he put his faith in God. He was justified, so he was made right with God. And we can see that in the New Testament, where we also see in the first part of Matthew where it said the lineage of Christ came through Abraham. And over in Galatians, it talks about by his faith, he was justified. The good news is today for us, the blessing is we can have salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. It's not by works. Isn't that wonderful? Even though you build this great building, is that going to get you any closer to heaven? Well, maybe if you're standing in the top right up here, you might be a little bit that way, but it's not going to get you to heaven. But it's through faith in Christ, by being justified, what Christ has done for us on the cross, that's how we're saved today. But here, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So it's a blessing that started with Abram that's continuing on today. Another reason why God is interested in our world today, turn back to Genesis chapter 6, if you would please. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Verse 5 and 6, these are some of the saddest verses, I think, in the Scripture. And you can see after the fall, a quick decline of what took place. But Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart." Why is God concerned about the world today? Well, we are sinful people. We are needy people. He sees the wickedness of people. You know, we look around our culture today, and people are saying our culture is becoming more secular, which I agree it is. It's becoming post-Christian. Some of Europe today, they're saying, is anti-Christian, not just even neutral anymore, but even anti-Christian. And I think we're kind of going down that slippery slope as well. But it's a change of moral values of what's happening in our culture. And it's the wickedness of man, of our sin. God is concerned very much about the spiritual condition of people. Turn next, if you would please, with me to Psalm 96. Verses 1 through 4, Psalm 96, verses 1 through 4. And here's what we were doing today earlier. By the way, I like that last song that you did. That was great. Psalm 96, look what it says. "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day." In verse 3, "Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." One of the things that our God wants, he wants his name to be made known around the world. He wants to be known as the famous one. I don't know if you've heard that song before. You're the one, the famous one. That's who our God wants to be. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. He is the God of Gods. There's no other God greater than him. He is the living God. Now, some churches I go in and they say, "Amen." Do you guys say amen here in Fertile?
Amen.
Okay, your pastor had the loudest one. Of course, he's from New York, so I guess that's right. But, you know, that's who our God is. And verse 3 there says, "Tell of his glory among the nations." That's something for us to do. But God wants his name to be made famous. He wants people to know that he is the Lord God. In the New Testament, the verse that so many people know, John chapter 3, verse 16. And I know many of you know this verse, but let me read it again. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Why is God interested in the world today? Because he loves the world. He has demonstrated in a perfect measure of love by sending his Son to die on the cross for us today, and that we could have eternal life. He loves the world. That's why he's interested in it. And one final verse, turn over to Revelation if you would please, with me. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. There's a number of books that are out, older books and newer books about people who've died, who've gone to heaven, and they give a little glimpse of what heaven might be like. But here, the Apostle John is writing about a prophetic vision that he has about what heaven's going to be like someday. And friends, my desire for all of you is that we'd be in heaven together. But take a look here, because in verse 9, here's a glimpse of what heaven is like. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." I don't know if you caught it there in that verse, in verse 9, but there's this great multitude. You can't count it because it's so large. But look what it says here, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues. So from every country, every tribal group, every language, all of these different ones are going to be standing there with white robes, meaning they've been redeemed, and they're going to be looking on and worshiping the Lord. And for those of us who know Christ today, we're going to be among that multitude. So God's desire today, why is he interested in our world? He's interested in a world because he loves us. He wants his name to be made known. And he wants heaven to be populated. He wants people to come and be his followers and to worship him. We've been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. And the gift that he gives us is eternal life, and we're going to be with him forever. Isn't that wonderful news? That's why God is interested in the world today. That's my first point. I need to go on. Point two, maybe some of you might say this is the interesting part, but we needed to look at the scriptural foundation to see what is God doing in the world today. Well, let me tell you a couple things. I could share a lot on this, but we don't have time, so I'm going to hit some highlights. Some of the first highlights are from a man by the name of Jason Mandrick. Jason Mandrick has just written a book called Operation World that came out last October. It's really the top mission book that's out there right now. It comes out maybe every, I don't know, 5-10 years. This is the 7th edition. If you want a mission book today that lists all the countries of the world and the condition of them and how to pray for them, this is the book to get. It's thick, but it's a wonderful book. But here's what he says. On world religions, the largest Islamic country in the world today is Indonesia. The largest Hindu country is India. The largest Buddhist country is China. The top non-religious country in the world is China with 590 million people. The U.S. has 52 million non-religious people today. On the global witness, Christianity, when you think with me here for a minute, we are Protestants. We'd call ourselves evangelicals who are part of the Protestant movement. Then you have the Catholicism. And then you have the Orthodox religion. You take, or the Orthodox faith. You take all three of those together, the large umbrella of what you'd call Christianity, and roughly 1/3 of the world today would fit under that umbrella. 1/3 would be classified in the larger global sense of being Christians, about 1/3. You have another 1/3 of the world, roughly, that have heard of Christianity, of Jesus, but maybe they've never put their faith and trust in him. The fastest group of evangelical growth today is in Iran and in Afghanistan. In Iran, it's an underground church primarily, and resources that I've read and heard of, there's maybe 1 million believers that they're saying in Iran today. We need to be praying for that country, for it's very much in the news. 26% of the world is considered unevangelized today, meaning that when you talk about unevangelized, these are people where there's no church, there's no Christians, there's no Christian radio or television in their midst. They have not even heard the name of Jesus Christ. For example, today they're saying that 90% of Muslims in the world and 90% of Buddhists don't know Christ, and they've never met a Christian. Let me tell you about another guy here. And the Middle East has been very much in the news. I mean, every day it's in the news a lot. Seems like every country, every day there's another country that's kind of going wild over there. But there's a man that you need to know about. His name is Father Zachariah Boutros, and he's a Coptic Christian. Coptic is one of the Christian religions in Egypt. I think Father Zachariah is somewhere in America, don't know where. I believe he's in a safe house or in some area of hiding. He has a virtual ministry. And what I mean by that, he's on a satellite television in the Middle East. He has internet chat rooms. But he's a Christian man who's engaging Muslims. And he doesn't do it in an apologetic way where he says, here's what we believe and here's what's wrong with what you believe. He doesn't do it defending Christianity. But what he's doing, he's showing the inconsistencies and loopholes of Islam. And then at the end of his message, he will show the true forgiveness and love and the message of Jesus Christ. Here's why he's important. According to the World Magazine, which is a Christian magazine a couple of years ago, and from what we've heard from sources beyond that, 70 million people listen to him every week. There's a $60 million bounty on his head by Al-Qaeda. That's a lot of money. But he's very effective because people are questioning Islam and they're able to write into different places or call in, and people are searching and they're coming to Christ. Many of these people who are Muslims in the Middle East. Pretty amazing. There's growing persecution in the world today. There's an organization called Open Doors is one group, and they've actually have a list of the top 50 countries of persecution. The top country is North Korea, and why North Korea is number one is 20% of all the Christians in that country are in prison. So it's, again, pretty much an underground church. Iran, Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, and Somalia are the other top five countries. Think of this when you think of a Muslim country in, where Christianity is the majority of the religion. Other minor religions have freedom of religion. I hope that's not Mikey doing that on that car. We'll just let it go. But where Islam is the majority in all the countries, there's no religious freedom for minorities of Christians. Let me talk some about China. In China today, China's a billion-plus people. There are an estimated 103 million, that's what I just heard the other week, an estimated 103 million Christians in China today. There's the government church, the Three Self Movement. Kathy and I were in China last summer. There's the underground movement of the churches. There's a group of 100,000 people that feel they believe God is calling them to bring the gospel back to Jerusalem. It's called the Back to Jerusalem Movement. Years ago, the gospel went from Jerusalem to China on what we know as a Silk Roads. They feel God is calling them to take the gospel from China back to Jerusalem, like on the Silk Roads. If you know geography and so forth, these are the countries that are most close to Christianity and hostile, and they feel God is calling them to do that kind of thing. Future projections are that 30% of China will be Christian someday. Some people say there are more evangelical Christians in China today than in the United States. Another area that's really of interest to me is this whole compassion ministry. We know what happened in Japan recently with the earthquake, then the tsunami, then the nuclear result after that. Kath and I were leading a team in Peru just the early part of February after an earthquake there several years ago. I really believe in the scriptures that one of the references of end times, it talks about an increase in wars and rumors of war and earthquakes and some of those things from Matthew 24. I think we as Christians need to be prepared to help people when crises come. The Free Church has an organization. By the way, I should say the international mission of the Free Church is called Reach Global, in case some of you don't know that. The compassion part of the Free Church mission of outreach, compassion, is called Touch Global. The mission, again, quiz here. Reach Global is the mission. Touch Global is a compassion branch of the mission, okay? We have workers that just went over to Japan a few weeks ago up to Sendai, where there are free churches. There are two free churches in Sendai. There's a church plant in Sendai. In Japan, only a half of 1% are evangelical Christians in Japan. Maybe the maximum of 3% call themselves Christians. An average church over there is under 30 people. Only one out of seven who attends is a man. I mean, it's a very small. There aren't enough Christians really to have impact. But what's happened there with an earthquake and all of what's taken place is the Japanese are searching again now. And we need to really pray for churches to engage their culture over there by providing food and clothes and housing and other things, because people are really needy and searching. That's a compassion-related project. And if you're interested in giving to that, you can actually go on the EFCA.org website and you can read stories on Japan. They've got blogs on there that are added almost daily, what's going on. And Japan is a very materialistic, very self-sufficient, quality country. But spiritually, they're really not where they should be at all. And then there's also opportunities in Haiti and New Orleans as well, in case you're interested in that. One of the things that Reach Global is interested in doing is in the next 10 years, their goal is to reach 100 million people in the next 10 years. They can't do that on their own. They have maybe 550 missionaries, but they're working now with over 100 different national partners in different countries. For example, in India, we have a partnership there with one organization that has over 1,000 churches. Okay, so there's a great need of continuing to bring the gospel to many places in the world. I'm sorry I can't share more with you, but I'm going to go on to a third point in just a minute, okay? But in case you're interested in reading more, you can go to the, it's called Joshua, I didn't bring that sheet up here, it's on the back table there, but it's called the Joshua Project, and it shows different trends and what's happening in some of the different countries. Oh, I have to tell you one more thing. I just heard about this. This is really exciting. They're saying in Cuba. Cuba's close to us. And have any of you ever been to Cuba? Okay, none of us have. In 1990, evangelical Christians went to talk to the Cuban government, and they said, our churches are full. Can we build new churches? You know what the government said? What do you think they said? Is anybody going to answer me? What do you think they said? Crazy. Well, I don't know if they used the word crazy, but they said no. You know what they said in response? You can meet in what? What do you think? Homes. So house churches. You know what happened in the 90s in Cuba? House churches, they started 10,000 house churches. And so here's the government saying, hey, we're going to contain Christianity in Cuba so you can just meet in a house. Well, they started all these house churches. Now they're an estimated 1 million believers, followers of Jesus Christ in Cuba, all because of that. Isn't that cool? That's just in the last few years.
Amen.
Wow. Okay, number three now. We're going to the last point. Here's what I want you to write some stuff down here, okay? The point here that we're going to look at is, what is God calling us to do? What should we do in response to some of these things? Let me give you one verse that was read earlier. And if you want to look at this, take a look in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts 1:8. This is right before Jesus ascends to heaven. And here's the last words that he says. Maybe you're acquainted with this verse. If not, follow along. But look what he says. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. So first he tells them to wait, and then about Pentecost coming, and then being his witnesses in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is our own community, okay? And then ultimately to the ends of the earth. I want you to write 9 things down today, okay? So borrow a pen from a neighbor or whatever. I'd like everybody to do this, please, if you'd be so kind. 9 things. What can we do? I'm not going to ask you to do all 9 things, okay? But write these down, and then you'll see what I'm asking. First one is go. Step out of your comfort zone. So write the word go. Number 2, give to someone financially who's a missionary. I know you're supporting a missionary in Thailand. You can support her. You can support us. We raise our own support as missionaries. Support a missionary. That would be number 2. Number 3, read missionary prayer letters. Sign up for a prayer letter. You can, a missionary prayer letter, ours or others. Know who your missionaries are. Number 4, you probably have never heard of this one, adopt a terrorist for prayer. There's a website called atfp.org, and you can go on there, and they have the terrorist of the day. Seriously. And you can pray for the terrorist. They've got a bio on them, and often a picture, and where that person's living. Terrorists are coming to know Jesus Christ. And we can pray for people who are active terrorists today, I guess. Versus, I guess, non-active terrorists is not a terrorist anymore, right? But adopt a terrorist for prayer. atfp.org is that site. Number 5, welcome an international into your church. I don't know how many internationals are around here or students, but many of them never get into homes of Americans. Befriend an international. Number 6, I don't know if you have a mission team or not. I mean, I just got here yesterday. I don't know what you have here, but if you don't have a mission team, maybe start one or serve on a mission team. That would be number 6. Number 7, learn what is happening in the world today. Like, buy that book, Operation World, or if you're interested more in the Muslims, what's happening, one good book is called Inside the Revolution by Joel Rosenberg. Number 8, get involved, like with Kathy's work here, with the human trafficking, the justice initiatives. Or number 9, and just say, pray, Lord, what would you have me to do? So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. It's an assignment. Say, oh man, we're not going to be here next week, okay? But I'd like you this week, if you'd be kind, and maybe your pastor would follow up on this if he wants to. He doesn't even know what I'm saying here. But, you know, that you would say that we as an individual or a family, that we want to do one of these things to make a difference in our world. As I conclude, I want to just remind you that God is very much interested in us. He loves us. He's very much interested in our world today, and he's doing wonderful things, and he wants us to be involved in helping to fulfill the Great Commission. Thank you, and I'll turn it back to Pastor Dennis. Thank you very much.